Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the MFers.
It's just Shangri-La, like love, empathy, everybody's just getting along and it's great.
Filling in for Lou, it's Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Boom, watch out, here comes that D. Fence.
And filling in for Christian is Christian.
Hey, how you doing?
Did the Red Sox end the Yankees season yesterday?
And the Red Sox have turned the tables on the Yankees.
The French basketball team, highlighted by some Celtics cast-offs, stunned Tatum and company.
France ending the game on a 16-2 run.
It's the Effers.
This is great. Isn't this great?
On WEEI.
I just got that. The Effers. It just hit me. I heard it at least three times when Ryan was putting that together. The Effers, Fitzy and Foye.
Right.
Foye and Fitzy.
It's the
My
Effers.
My name goes first.
But yes, alphabetically speaking, your name goes first.
And
granted,
sure.
you're also part of the masthead in the program, and I'm the super sub, the discount Brock Holt of this station.
Yeah,
but
the Ron Renicky of the program.
Of value there
that's
Brock
right.
Holt.
Hey, who else would you want me to put in there?
Hey,
Uncle Ron's in the house. I'd rather be Captain Ron, by the way, if anything.
Just going to say this. I'm not sure if I like you sitting there.
I knew you were going to say
I don't like you sitting there. Why
I told
are you
the guys in advance before the show started. I was like, I knew he's going
to
be weirded
there?
Out by me sitting in the driver's chair.
No.
Because if
no.
I sit here, hello, Twitch. Hi, everybody. It's twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Not
give
that I'm driving
number,
the show.
Give the time.
617-779-7937. As we talk to you here at 2:03 in the afternoon, on a beautiful sunny Monday in the fair Commonwealth of Massachusetts, I knew you were going to have an issue with me sitting in the driver's seat, even though you're the captain
of
the ship.
No, it has nothing to do with, like, you know, the driver's seat. It has to do with the fact that the guys are to my left,
yep.
And it's easier for you to be right here in front of me where Lou usually sits, instead of going right to left and right to
camera
left.
Camera one,
like, just get up
camera
and move.
Two, camera one,
like, what
camera
made
two.
You, like, what made you sit in
I
that
got
chair?
Last week when I was filling in for Andy Gresh as part of the Gresh and Keefe program here at 2:04 in the afternoon, I was sitting in here and Rich sat where you sit right now. And Andy usually sits here in the driver's seat. And Rich was like, you just want to sit there? I was like, yeah, sure, that's fine. And we had a perfectly fine time. Rich can use his left eye, which is my favorite member of TLC, to look over to look over into the producer's booth whenever necessary. And I can see them front and clear. When I sit over there, Christian, I have my back to them, which A, puts me at a disadvantage when I'd like to make eye contact. And B, I feel, as many nations do, is disrespectful.
Okay, oh, fine. Well, I think at the next break, I want you to move.
You do?
Yeah, I do want you to move.
Oh, I'm
so really?
Comfy. This is great.
Don't let him bully you. Just
I feel like
do the show.
Hey, Tyler, could you do me a favor? Could you contact our program director and set up a meeting
yes,
with HR?
Yes, there's a door in there that's still locked that nobody was actually sitting in.
I believe the email is tbd@weei.com.
So,
by the way, if this is the Effers, we could have also gone with a couple of different directions. Like, we could have just called the show, like, F it or F this.
I think basically that's the theme of today's show. F it.
Look at that. Look at that big market pivot by
the
host.
You are a bunch
of dumb MFers.
That's it. The theme of the show is F it. Obviously, it's OMF right here on WEEI. You like that right there? You like that little throw? Fitzy is in for, I guess you're in for Ordway and Merlone.
Yes.
So you're gonna have to take the work of two people today.
Oh wow! So I have a lot of belly aching to do.
So you have to speak
I don't like soccer.
Talk over me all the time. Interrupt me all the time. What? Never have an opinion.
I have no idea. Fine.
And then you know, get angry. You know, when it feels right. Because we're gonna start baseball. We're gonna start Red Sox. I thought it was, you know, the weekend series against the Yankees is probably one of the best I've seen in a long period of time. Obviously, they take 3 out of 4 from the Yankees. All three were comeback wins. What would give them their 32nd comeback victory for the season?
That's an insane. Just stop right there. Just over 100 games played. Were 100 and something games. You're a little over 2/3 of the way through the season. You want to talk about, like you always said, as did Brady and Belichick, you really know your football team by Thanksgiving weekend. You got to get to know your team by the trading deadline. That's the full 2/3 marker. This team has almost half of their wins in comeback fashion, Christian. You want to talk about a team that has stones, a team that has heart, and a team that many predicted to not even come close to a sniff or a whiff of the postseason, having a chance now not only to just make the postseason, but to go to the World Series. Half their wins are in comeback fashion. The heart of this team, it's the antithesis of everything else we're seeing on the national and local sports landscape.
Do you think this is one of their best wins of the season?
I think that was far and away their best win, the most important win of the season for the Red Sox yesterday, because A, you are coming off an absolute junk kick, a soul punch of a loss on Saturday. They're up 3-0 in the 7th inning. Eovaldi is cruising. I had a little family get together. I'll be honest, I checked out. I didn't think I needed to worry about the last 2 innings because they had them down. It was boot on the neck. You go Ottavino to Barnes. Even if you give up 1 or 2, the Yankees should lose. Sox win. Sweet Caroline. Let's all take selfies. Have Chris Curtis put a picture of it out there, then delete it, that coward. So I thought it was no big deal. No big deal. They lose. I found it later. They lose 4-3. Oh, no. You're going to let the Yankees back into this. This is the kind of loss that carries over emotionally. And the next day, they're going to feel it. To get no hit into the 7th and then find a way to win that game yesterday 5-4, enormous. You are back into it. You're 6-3 since the All-Star break, and best of all, you shoveled dirt on the Yanks.
See, I would agree with you, but because I think that the ability to come back, if you do it once or twice, like it just doesn't really seem like it's a personality trait. And having the ability to do it over and over and over again,
yep.
Not only is it strengthening you mentally, but it also, the other team knows you have that ability. So if you've done it 32 times so far and we're just barely past halfway, you can never really feel comfortable. So even though you get, you know, a strong outing by Domingo Germán and you're saying, okay, fine, we got a 4-run lead.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't have any issues. So the only way you bring Germán out is because, Verdugo slaps a double, and mm-hmm. then you're sitting there go, okay, pull him. Okay, we've seen enough.
Yep.
But you still think you have enough to get through it. Well, sure enough, you can't because you went through a string of hits. Then you go Renfro with a hit. Vasquez, he gets a bloop. You got Cordero, who was 0-2 for the day. He gets a hit. Hernandez, your new favorite guy. Just over and over and over again. To me, like that was, if you're going to sit there and try to, you know, define what their personality is, like mm-hmm. this is it. Like, this is it. Forget about the stars. Forget about Alex Cora. Forget about the pitching. Forget about Chris Sale. The ability to come back, regardless of the situation or the circumstances, is such an unbelievable trait to have. And when you're talking about winning championships, no matter what, like, you believe that you can win.
Yes. They believe in themselves. Cora told you earlier on that he thought this was a really good team. The Red Sox social media account reminded you that they were keeping receipts on all of your tweets about the team way back in April. They are a confident, if not cocky, bunch, and I'm okay with it because at this point in the season, Christian, they've been in first place long enough, 32 comeback wins, everybody on this team having heart, spirit, fire in their gut. They're allowed to be a confident bunch at this point. Absolutely.
And I do think there's something too. So, what was it, last week, Cora kind of changes up the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And everything works. Everybody's hitting. Everybody's freaking, oh, you know, they're calling. It's like he's got this crystal ball.
Yeah, Jaron Duran up in this 2 spot. Verdugo got bumped down to the 6th spot.
Yeah, and so I thought it was interesting that after the game, Kiki Hernandez said this.
At what point did you start thinking, you know, you guys had a chance to pull this off?
Things weren't looking great. And when AC went up to the mound and he took Yaxel out of the game and he brought in JT. He said to us, if JT gets out of this inning, we're winning this game. And next inning, the hitting still went the same. But you know, you trust what AC says. He a lot of times he sees things before they happen, and you just go with it. And if he says that we're going to win this game, it's probably going to happen. And they score one more, but we've said it many times. We're not out of a game till the game's over, and we proved that today.
This guy, Alex Cora, can basically say whatever the hell he wants. I mean, I feel like he calls his shot more often than any other person I've met, like ever. Even now, maybe just because, you know, the ultimate factor is that they're really good, you know, and they have this kind of like magic in them. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little bit safer for him to kind of call a shot as opposed to a team that sucks.
Right.
You know, because he's right all the time. It's like, well, you know what? And then after the game, you're like, wow, this guy's got a crystal ball out.
So it kind of looks like a genius tonight, huh? We were all joking about it in the dugout. Like, Alex pulled out his crystal ball for that one.
That's it. That's J.D. Martinez
right.
from last week. Same, basically the same thing. That
with the weed whacker on in the background, or was he riding his moped home?
You got to cut the grass.
You got to keep that thing high and tight.
You got to keep that tight.
So to me, I mean, not that, we're giving out awards right now, but if as far as the, you know, manager of the year goes, I mean, it's Alex Cora by a mile.
But there's nobody. He might win unanimously. He legitimately may win this award unanimously. There are some other jobs that are being done out there. No one's going to give it to Tony La Russa. Obviously, the guy, I mean, you want to talk about somebody who's just there, a team that's winning in spite of him because there's just so much damn talent and youth on the White Sox. Don Baylor's, or whatever his name is, Dusty Baker's doing a fine job. Don Baylor's doing a different job right now.
For all eternity.
I was getting to it.
Is Dusty he coaching Baker? The God squad up there?
He's taking a pitch right now on his hip in heaven. R.I.P. Donnie B. Dusty Baker's doing a fine job in Houston, but that team is loaded, and they're out to prove they're super talented.
Some love for Gabe Kapler out with the Giants. And
yeah. And how about a little also, and Kevin Cash, even though he made the worst managerial decision in that altered World Series last year, pulling Schnell in Game 6. Every year that this team that has a budget of $23.87 in St. Petersburg is able to stay competitive, you got to take a look at him. But Cora is the man right now. You're right. Everything he says, calling all the right shots, making all the right moves. For all I know, he'd have the Diamondbacks competitive right now because this guy is the elixir. And the team has bought into it. I mean, you've been on teams before. Have you ever been on a team where you're like, I don't think we're as talented as we're playing, but something's working here. Coach is pulling all those strings. Coach is making all the right moves. Can you really quantify that intangible?
Can I quantify just the fact that that my coach is batting 1,000 with that guy is batting 1,000?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say the good coaches, good managers, coaches in anything have the ability to predict what's going to happen based on the personnel that they have.
Right.
So, okay, I know this guy is a gamer. I know, this guy lives for this type of moment. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as Verdugo got that hit, they pulled our guy, Herman. They pull him. And I don't even know who the other guy was. I don't even know how to say his name.
Loaiziga.
He looked like he was just in shock. He knew.
Couldn't handle it.
He could not handle the moment. And it was so funny just watching the Red Sox take advantage of his just. So then they bring in Britton, and then the same thing happens to him.
Yep.
So they don't have anything.
Boy, they probably didn't want to bring in Britton, considering that's one of the assets they're probably going to sell off, since they're definitely going to be dealers and not buyers at the deadline. And didn't Loaiziga, boys, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't he just make it back for this weekend series?
That's correct. Just came off COVID list.
Fantastic. Jeff brought him in.
Well rested.
Brought him in fresh and rested.
They kept panning to Herman, and you could just see him going, you've got to be kidding. So I kind of laughed just because it happened to Eovaldi.
Right.
The night before.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, this is exactly how this is going to go.
It's the exact same thing.
But they had a three-run lead. The Red Sox had a three-run lead.
This
obviously, they had four.
In the eighth, yeah.
So you needed five runs, and they got them all in one inning. Hit after hit after hit after hit. So that's the good news. I even got more good news for you.
You do? Wait a second. Is this show allowed to have this much positivity and good news this early on?
Fitzy wants to do a whole segment on Ted Lasso because it puts him in a good mood.
That's the point of the show.
It puts him in a good mood. No, I didn't think we were playing this song anymore. So we know, last night was probably the best one of the season, as we think it is. But the question is, can we officially announce the death of the Yankees for the 2021 season?
The Yankees are dead.
That's up next on the efforts.
There's a drive to right field. Well struck. Retreating is Greg Allen. He's at the warning track. And that ball is off the right field wall. Throw to second, not in time. Verdugo just missed a home run. There goes the no-hitter. Pitch hit hard down the left field line toward the corner. Fair ball off the wall on a hop. Off the bat of Hunter Renfro. Back-to-back two-base hits. Little looping line drive. Shallow right center. That's going to fall for a hit. It's a bloop single for Christian Vasquez, and it's a 4-2 game. Loaizaga comes set right below his chin. The pitch hit hard toward the left field corner. Another base hit. Vasquez being waved around. He will score. Cordero to third. It's a double for Kike Hernandez. And a 4-3 New York lead. And still nobody out. Britain's 1-0. Swing, pop fly, right field near the line. Not particularly deep. Kike's tagging. Allen the catch. Allen's throw to the plate. Not in time. Hernandez comes sliding in hand first ahead of the tag from Sanchez. And the Red Sox have turned the tables on the Yankees from 4-1 ahead here in the eighth inning.
I'm back in the New York room.
That was Will McDonough. Will sounded actually got himself a really good game. I mean, that's him in his prime right there. No, I'm not supposed to say anything nice about Will McDonough.
Yeah, Will sounds great.
Will sounds great.
Never He's, sounded better.
He was just hanging out with Don Baylor. It's Sean McDonough.
Oh, Sean McDonough. You know what I mean. Everybody who's dead, Sean, Will, they're from the same family.
Oh, my God. You just led off on a Monday with the best OMF of the month.
Well, no, you gave it Sean Baylor. McDonough said...
He sounded
great, didn't he?
He's one of my three top play-by-play voices in all sports.
I don't think you really get the benefit of hearing how good he is on some of the longer, slower games.
Right.
That inning with all that action, with the fans kind of interacting and going crazy, I mean, it sounded great. You would think that was a playoff game.
My Olympic medal stand, it's Mike Tirico, it's Gus Johnson, and it's Sean McDonough. I could listen to three of them read the
book. Where would you put Will McDonough?
Top three Boston sports writers of all time. I'd do Bob Ryan, Will McDonough, and then David Halberstam.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually watching the game. Nobody had a worse weekend than the Yankees and Alex Rodriguez.
One person did.
Alex Rodriguez had a terrible weekend also.
Alex Rodriguez has a terrible weekend every weekend.
Well, no, it's just the fact that not only were the Yankees playing the Red Sox, and obviously Ben Affleck basically stole his woman. And now they're recreating photos, and sure enough, like they're doing all this as the Red Sox are completely just demoralizing the Yankees,
stomping them.
The fact is, so the Red Sox can come back from anything. Mm-hmm. 32 times they've done it this year. The Yankees, on the other hand, they can't hold the lead to save their life.
A 4-0 lead in a game with this garbage lineup that they have, where they somehow recently, after losing the first six to the Red Sox, have shown some life, and it's because of that stupid game 9 days ago in the Bronx when they're up 1-0, Evaldi's cruising, and then the umpires and the rain decide to start getting involved, and somehow that gave the Yankees a little bit of their Bronx mojo back, Christian. For the Red Sox to not only snuff that little insurrection out yesterday, but turn the tables on them the way that things fell against the Sox Saturday with the Ottavino meltdown in the eighth was spectacular. And coming off that clip with that great call and the energy from McDonough, did you happen to notice in the background, crowd noise, energy.
Yeah.
Did you happen to notice that there was a lot of crowd? It wasn't a lot of like selfies and people sitting on hands and newbies. And I feel like that was a little bit of a topic last week coming out of New York.
Okay, so the topic that you're talking about is Michael Kay. Michael Kay, the play-by-play for the Yankees. He actually was, this is on Thursday. So on Thursday, so the start of the series, he comes out and he says this.
Now the Red Sox crowd, very quiet. And players that have played for the Red Sox, I spoke with them. They said the difference between a Red Sox crowd and a Yankee crowd is a Yankee crowd at Yankee Stadium will get loud to try to spur the team on to do something, and the Red Sox crowd reacts to something good, and they're being shut out right now, so it's kind of a quiet situation at Fenway Park.
Like a movie.
Yeah. When things get fast and furious, then they cheer. And that's long been the scouting report on the Red Sox crowd. Not a knock on them. That's they react rather than being proactive.
Well, what a load of crap. That's not a knock on them. That's completely a knock on him, if that's what he believes.
I don't know. Whose scouting report is he using?
I'm not sure who's scouting report. Like, who's giving him a scouting report says the Fenway fans sit on their hands and they just kind of treat it like a movie theater where they don't say anything and they don't interact. I would say that's at every single ballpark if the games are slow and boring and there's no action and there's no hitting. But I tell you, what you saw last night was incredible. So, of course, Alex Cora, who is not going to let anything slide, listens to everything, and is not afraid to kind of throw something back at anybody, had this to say during the pregame Saturday with Will Fleming.
Last thing for you, Alex. We know you got all the family in town that might be part of this, but we were feeling it big time in the booth last night. One of those special Friday nights at Fenway Park, and almost every shot that the telecast had of you in the dugout, you're just grinning ear to ear, like soaking it all in. What was it like at Fenway last night?
It wasn't a movie theater. It was Fenway Park. It was fun.
Exactly. Exactly how we feel. Thanks so much, Alex, and good luck today.
That's why they say Fenway, right? A movie theater or something like that?
Yeah, right. The greatest cathedral in sports, and it's like it's IMAX, right?
IMAX, yeah. That's cool.
it sure felt like it. Thanks so much, AC.
Okay, man. Thank you.
See, if I'm Will Fleming, I'm getting in deeper with this because Alex wants to respond to this stuff.
Well, I love Will Fleming, but he completely missed the reference there. God bless him.
The greatest cathedral in sports, and it's like it's IMAX, right?
Well, the Green Monster is the size of an IMAX screen. I'm sure Christopher Nolan would love to project a movie on it, Will, but talking about the fact that Michael Kay says it's sort of like movie theater quiet, and they only react to it, and we don't create the din in advance, which is such a complete pile of garbage.
That was not fun.
And nonsense. Love you, Will Fleming. Just missed the mark a little bit on that one. Red Sox fans, has no one ever seen, like, we still do the wave to keep crowd energy up. People go, let's go Red Sox is one of the great chants in all sports. I would say, if anything, I would say that Sox fans are as consistently engaged as Celtics fans are during the game. Don't make the comp between the entitlement that settled in during the richness and the success of the Brady Belichick years in Foxborough. Oh, the red seats are empty. No one's coming back out till they get their steak tip sandwich halfway through the third period and their Chardonnay. No, no, no. Fenway is electric the entire time. Red Sox fans are far more consistently engaged than just reactionary to good things happen. There's no
pitch. Swinging strike.
Yeah! How's this for a trip into the time capsule, by the way?
I would say it's never been cooler to be a Red Sox fan. Right now, the way things are going, the underdog mentality, I think it's never been cooler to be a Red Sox fan.
And Christian, I was talking about it on Friday. I've been going to a lot of Red Sox games lately, and it is such a young crowd. You've heard Brad Foe and Will and even Joe talk about the young crowd. It's all college kids. They're all younger than me. I feel almost old to be at a Red Sox game.
It is.
It's a lot of fun.
It was so misplaced, that comment by Michael Kay. I don't see it at all. Like, Tyler's point, my kids are asking to go to the games. Now, I will say, I don't know how long I've worked here, but I've been force-feeding tickets to them. Listen, we only got one team. We don't have the Patriots. We don't have the Bruins. We don't have the Celtics. If you want some fun, like, I can get you tickets, and I can get you good seats. I don't want it. They all want to go now. Like, so not that it's just, and I don't know, maybe because, you know, everybody's free to do whatever they want to do, making it more appealing to them.
Sure.
But I would say the way the team is playing, the personalities, the attitudes, everything about this team is great. I want to do one call real quick. Ryan, I know you're blowing that light off on me because we do want to yell and scream at the United States men's basketball team after completely embarrassing all the Americans. We're going to do that after this, but I'm going to go to Tucker first, who is in Gloucester. What's up, Tucker?
Hey, so on the topic of the 32 comeback wins,
yeah.
So I know that's – I hear what you're saying about they got hard, they got this, that, and the other. But what it reminds me of, okay, is this is going to be a weird reference. Tim Howard setting the record for saves in the 2014 game against Belgium in the World Cup. Why? Because in order to set the record for save, there has to be 15 shots on goal. In order for there to be 32 comeback wins – there have to be at least 32 games where they're losing early. And that's concerning to me. I mean, obviously, I think the Sox are going to be in the playoffs. But come playoffs time, you know, you don't want to be giving up early leads in the playoffs. That's not a recipe for success.
No, I hear you. Tucker, that's a good point. I'm not going to say that that's the classic sort of Boston, like, hey, we're in the middle of the success and we're always going to be waiting for the other shoe to drop or something bad to happen. But this team, and this is what's so great about them, Tucker, is that they are not like a top-heavy, star-laden, baseball juggernaut. You're not talking about playing the Dodgers. This is not the Astros where you take one look at the lineup and just be like, I have no idea how we're going to get 27 outs tonight, guys. Like,
you led the Dodgers.
Yeah, these Red Sox, like the fact, yeah, sometimes they are going to fall behind early. It's not a dominant pitching staff. Your ace is somebody who you're just waiting for the wheels to fall off on all the time. With Eovaldi, your second best starter had a migraine Friday night, and Phillips Valdez came in and gave you an incredible spot start in relief with 7 strikeouts. So, yes, it is a little disconcerting that they fall behind early, but it's about the fact that this team continues to dig themselves out of the hole and that they have the heart and the will and they find a way to do it again. Should we be concerned? Yes. But am I overly concerned, Christian? No.
Speaking of heart and will, those are two traits that Team USA does not have because they lost to France 83-76. They lost to Evan Fournier, we all know, Gershon Yabusele, and Vincent Poirier.
And Monsieur Chardonnay?
I mean, you throw them all out there. What an embarrassing example of American pride. Fitzy and I are going to rip the United States men's basketball team. How can a collection of talent be so bad together? That's what's next.
Lillard puts it up. Holiday. No, and that will do it. So France has beaten the United States in the first game in Pool A, final score 83-76. And perhaps the biggest concern for the United States, France ending the game on a 16-2 run. So France turning it on late, and they get the win. They get they go to 1-0 in Group A. The Americans drop to 0-1.
Man, you heard it there. France closed the game out Sunday on a 16-2 run. The United States had a 7-point lead with 4 minutes to go, and they coughed it up. They just couldn't, it just didn't mean enough for them to kind of recognize the situation and understand that France was not just going to just give up. Like, instead of, like, having a killer instinct...
Isn't that what France usually does?
See, I know. I'm going to say, usually, maybe history. They thought history was going to repeat itself. But they didn't. They fought back. They were diving all over the place. They were hitting clutch shots at the most important time of the game. And the United States, I tell you what, there's I feel like when the Olympics come around, it is your God-given duty to watch the Olympics and root for all the teams.
Keep that music going.
Root for them as passionately as you would your favorite football team, basketball team, college team. I don't care what it is. It comes around once every blue moon, and with the amount of effort and time and sacrifice that goes into it, you are supposed to be watching and rooting for them. And you should also be disappointed, almost angry at the fact that they didn't live up to the expectations. Like in this, and I'm talking about USA men's basketball. You have no pride. You have no soul. You are soft. This is the biggest. Their give a crap level is zero. And I never give a zero. Zeros. I don't think I've ever given anyone a give a crap level of zero in my life. That is USA men's basketball. You have a lead. You let them go on a 16-2 run to end the game. Then you also have the ability to win it at the end. And I don't know how many guys took a shot at the end of that game. Like, brick after brick after brick after brick. I was like, well, what are we doing here? Why are you here if you really don't want to win this tournament?
Forget about a size issue. Forget about a shooting issue. Team USA has a cohesion and a heart issue. This team does not care. They don't play like they have ever balled out together before, which they haven't, because I understand it is a unique collection. Not a unique collection as in like, ooh, this is special. I should grab this before it flies off the shelves. I mean, these 12 guys have probably never played together before on a super team, on a summer league, in the All-Star game. That's fine. They should have enough talent on the floor, in addition to the fact they're being coached by the GOAT of NBA coaches right now and Greg Popovich, to wipe the floor, if not at least handily defeat some of the better teams playing international-style basketball. And I understand France beat Team USA a couple years ago, Christian. So they kind of, if you can have this team's number or have our country's number, France does. But what happened yesterday was both an indictment of how soulless this team is and how far USA basketball and the way we play basketball is falling and failing in comparison to international play. The U.S. is so wildly unprepared for international rules in FIBA-style basketball. You're getting shoved around the court by, you know, Rudy Gobert and Poirier. Gershon Yabusele, who can't even make it to the Celtics to play NBA-style basketball, is out-hustling and out-rebounding you when it matters most. But the most damning moment in the game yesterday was when the U.S., you know, Evan Fournier hits a huge three to put them up 76-74, I believe, and there's less than a minute.
Plenty of time.
Plenty of time to be able to get a shot and at least put France back on their heels and force them to have to make a shot or play some defense and win the damn game. Instead, they go, I think it's Durant three. No, it's Tatum three. Correct. Over a 30-second span. And by, we'll get to Tatum in a minute, yeah, because he is playing horrendously. He barely scratches the rim with his three. Then I think it's Durant who takes a three at the top of the key. He bricks it. Then somebody fights for the rebound, throws it over to Jrue Holiday, one of the only guys who cared. He had 18 points yesterday and a nice 12-point run in the third, I believe. In the corner, 30 seconds left. No one drives or makes the extra pass, which France was doing all day, dishing the ball, playing like a team. It's brick three. Brick three, and then Jrue Holiday from the corner because he wants to be the hero and get the dub. Brick three. France, Yabusele gets the rebound, and you lose 83-76. It is an absolute embarrassment. I wouldn't let my kids watch. I would let my kids watch them play Team USA.
It's a lesson of what not to do.
Do not ever play a team-oriented sport the way these guys are playing right now, because they stink and they're embarrassing the legacy of Team USA, the dream team, and everything that you just said is so good about Olympic-style sports.
See, we're going to get to Tatum also, but if you want to get up on this and I guess vent a little bit and explain to me what you think is wrong with Team USA. Do you think it's even fixable? Should you even care? So the thing that, and you can do that at 617-779-7937. I want to get to Greg Popovich real quick, though, because I think he's a problem. I mean, he kind of sounds to me like Bill did last year during the season. Lots of excuses. Lots of reasons why they're not being successful. And this is what he said yesterday after the loss to France. He says, when you lose a game, you're not surprised. You're disappointed. He said, I don't understand the word surprise. That sort of disses the French team as if we're supposed to beat them by 30. That's a hell of a team. To me, I just, like, you're the United States. Like, every time he loses, and they were doing this when they were playing in Vegas, every time he lost, there was some, they lost to Australia, right? They just kept losing and losing and losing. And you say, all right, well, you know, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out.
They got a couple wake-up calls in Vegas.
Yeah, and we kept saying that was a wake-up call. But you have to demand more from them. Like, I know, respect your opponent, you know, don't diss them. But at some point in time, don't you have to say that they're playing like crap and they're pros and they should be better than this?
Who's the superstar who's going to swoop in and save them? Over the last couple of Olympiads.
Well, it should be Kevin Durant.
You've had
Garçon Yabusele?
You've had Kevin Durant step up. You've had, in 2008 against Spain, Kobe Bryant. This is one of the things I respect about Kobe Bryant, even though he was obviously a mortal enemy of Celtics fandom for years. Kobe Bryant just said, no, we're not losing. I understand I play for the Lakers. A lot of people don't like me, but I'm an American first. He learned a lot, obviously, when he played over in Italy. What was the thing he said, that playing basketball in Italy helped him learn the game, made him a better basketball player?
Yeah.
He showed some national pride and put the team on his back. LeBron James, for all the LeBron haters out there, you know, Rich Keefe, I know, like, wakes up, and if he thinks of LeBron James, he throws up. And I understand people around here don't like LeBron James.
But it means something to him.
He cared. He cared. Winning for the United States of America and showing the world that you're the best at our game that we created in Springfield, Mass. matters. Who is going to? Hey, Damian Lillard, if you want to get traded and show the rest of the league that you're one of the 5 or 10 best players, lead this team to victory. Hey, Kevin Durant, Mr. Super Team, if you care about your country and this team, put them on your back and your skinny legs and will them to a win. Be a boss out there and take control. And Jason Tatum, do something.
My sub has bacon.
Thank God.
I'm gonna let you give your Tatum take. Let's go to Phil in Maine real quick. Phil, what's up?
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call. You know what? You know what's wrong with this team?
Everything.
Everything, Fitzy. Perfect. But specifically, it's about 3 inches below the belt buckle. That's what they don't have. All right. They're a bunch of spoiled little babies. They don't play for the country. They don't play USA basketball because they want to play for this country like all these other players do. They play for pride of their country and everything. These guys play for themselves. This is just another AAU trip for them. And it's disgusting. You know, honestly, I think that the Jackie Moon and the Tropics would have a better chance of winning gold than this damn team and all these buffoons. They should be shipped the hell back home and just go off. Greg Popovich, goodbye. Go.
Right back to you. Okay, give it back again. You got it.
Hello.
No, right back.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sure.
Right back.
You said.
Throw it to Popovich.
No.
Right back out. Right. Right back.
It would be a better. That's what you call ball movement. Let me get to Dan real quick in Hampton. Dan, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? I just want to make 2 points that I think. You know, first of all, let's look at the collective salary of this USA basketball team. It has to be close, if not over $1 billion.
They combined for $306.7 million of salary for their day jobs this year. 306.
Okay. And the other point I want to make, people paid more last week for 4 front row seats than you would have to pay to fly to Paris and watch the French play.
They paid what?
Oh, no, are you talking about the to-go
NBA,
seat?
NBA,
right. I wasn't sure if we were talking Blue Horizon or Jeff Bezos.
No. NBA. See,
gotcha.
People actually paid more for 4 front row seats than they would, it cost them more than it would to fly to Paris to watch the French play.
Gotcha. No, good point.
Thank you.
Yeah, so obviously they are overpaid. And I will say that, like, the atmosphere there, so there was last year in the NBA regular season during COVID, before they, you know, in the bubble, there was no life, no energy. But they still did their best to kind of, you know, produce it a little bit. You know, there'd be background noise, there'd be music, there'd be a bunch of different stuff. Watching this game, there is absolutely nothing. It looks like a pickup game on a Sunday morning at the Y.
Lazy pickup game.
But there's just nothing. Nothing's getting them going. They're just really forced to kind of manufacture their own energy. And that is my issue. They just, and that's why you allow France to go on a 16-2 run, and you don't ever stop them. You don't impose your will. And yes, I know maybe the international play has gotten better. Maybe, maybe they care about it more. Maybe, as Damian Lillard says, these international players, this is from Damian Lillard. He says international players are completely different when they play for their own countries. You believe that?
I do.
And why?
Because they care. Because national pride is a big deal to them. I do not think that representing the flag of this country and wearing Team USA on their jersey means that much to these guys. It doesn't look like their heads should be hung beneath the area that guy said they were lacking. No stones. They should be sick to their stomach that they lost, that they've been playing so poorly. 3-5 in their last 8 games overall with exhibition friendlies and now the first game of group play. This is disgusting. This is embarrassing.
See,
I don't need them to win by 43.8 points, which was the average margin of victory from Dream Team in 1992, Christian. I just need them to look like this matters.
I think they're doing it all wrong. I would not use pro basketball players anymore. I would use college athletes only.
They're only in it for a year, though.
I would have them practice together. I would have them work together. I would have them, travel internationally together. You know, you throw these guys out there, and they're all coming from different teams, different philosophies, and they all have their different way of playing. Mm-hmm. Now you take Popovich and you say, okay, listen, everybody respects you. Go ahead and get something out of this. Like, they should just know what to do. Like, it's not the case anymore. Like, they should not even come back on the plane when the Olympics are over.
Oh, I'd make them walk home, and it's a tough walk home.
Is there some
way
we can punish our American athletes for not representing, the United States the correct way? I feel there's going to be some sort of punishment.
Well, you could make them watch all 7 seasons of Big Bang Theory in a row.
Well, we could do that. But you had an issue with Jason Tatum, because I would say, is Jason Tatum even, is he helping his reputation or hurting it by playing in the Olympics?
I think you made a great point, too. One, I just wanted to get to this. You said, like, the rest of the world is catching up to the NBA.
Yeah.
I just did, like, a quick, while you were ranting there, top 5 NBA players. I would argue that one of the 5 best NBA players right now is American-born. I would just say LeBron, you have Jokic, the MVP,
yeah.
Luka Doncic maybe, Giannis, and maybe Joel Embiid. You could argue now, that's just
Why
a
not?
Quick list, right? Four of the five, not American. Last night, Luka, in his first Olympic game, 118-100 win for Slovenia. Basketball power, Slovenia, drops 48. Why? Excited to play for his country. International stage, all the spotlight and attention. These guys, we just played in the finals. Ah, this season dragged out. It was a long one, blah, blah, blah. Like, it just seems like this is a labor to them. However, and here's the Tatum take, Jason Tatum, who wants to recruit one of his buddies, who's putting that out on Instagram, and I know we'll get to that in a minute, he wants to turn things around in Boston. He wants to be the face of Boston basketball, the new superstar, the next Pierce, the next Bird. Great. This is a prime opportunity, since everyone else is spitting the bit for Team USA over in Japan, for Jason Tatum to take the ball and say, you know what? I got this. I am going to be the heart and the soul and the top point scorer of this team, and I'm going to lead us to victory, and you're going to recognize what a star on the rise I am. And instead, he is playing like crap.
Right back, though. Okay. Right back to you. Okay. Give it back again.
I prefer that.
No, right back. No,
this is way more fun. Yeah. This is way more fun right to listen to ball Team USA basketball. Yeah, there's no ball. He looks torpid out there. He looks like this is a chore for him. This doesn't look like he's having any fun, and he's not doing anything in terms of recruiting, setting the stage for him to be a star and have everyone say, like, hey, come on out here with me and Jalen and Ime Udoka. We're going to be awesome. He looks flat. Is he sick? I know he had a little bit of an injury, which caused him to make him a scratch late in the Vegas games. But why is Jason Tatum? What did he have? 5 points? Are you kidding? 5 points? He is really, he's dragging the team down. I'd make him a healthy scratch for the next game if he's going to keep putting efforts like this up.
It's just, if there's not the quick reward and if they're not just, you know, satisfied, I just don't get why they can't muster any energy. I just don't understand why it doesn't mean anything.
Long
I think they completely, I mean, listen, now Tatum's been done. Now you want to give me long season with Middleton, with Booker,
right,
with Drew Holiday. You want to give me those guys? Okay, Middleton barely played. He looked like he had jet lag.
Yep.
Okay, Drew Holiday played a bunch of minutes. And who else was it? And then Devin Booker. Those guys shouldn't even be playing in the Olympics. They should not be part of the team.
Drew Holiday just finished drinking champagne, like doing shots off the top of the Larry O'Brien trophy or whatever the hell they call it. And he flew over there. He actually showed up and cared yesterday. Where's every, like, yeah, long season. They just played the finals. I'll understand that. But the rest of these guys, Bam Adebayo has no excuse. Why isn't he one of the best players? How can you be the best player
in, like, when you go to last year's NBA Finals in the bubble? Bam Adebayo was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about their mentality? Does nobody want to take control? To your point,
right?
Is it like we don't know who's in charge? I don't know what my role is.
Who's
well? Then that's Popovich's fault.
Yes. Like, can
establish them.
Tyler's nodding yes in the other room. There's no one around here.
There's no hierarchy. There's no roles. It's just 6, 7, 8 NBA superstars trying to get their own. Whereas there really should be the hierarchy of this is Durant's team, and also Lillard's going to get his 25, and everybody else fall in line. Like, those are the two guys, the most talented guys in the world at scoring. Let them get their 30 and 25, and let everyone else get out of the
exactly.
way.
Exactly. So, and I would say this isn't an all-star game.
It's that simple. It's really that simple.
So then you blame it on your leadership. So if you want to go LeBron, you want to go Kobe, you want to go Dream Team. I mean, they were still, with all those superstars, there was like one or two guys that were really in charge. It was Jordan, and it was Magic.
Yep.
That was it. You had all these other superstars, Hall of Famers, and they all knew, you know what? Because they were successful as leaders, they knew there was only, you can't have 500 chefs in the kitchen.
No.
You can't do it.
No, you let these two guys, and it's up to them. Now, dovetailing off that point, Tyler, Christian, what you do is if you say this is Lillard's team and this is Durant's team, they should understand, hey, okay, Tatum's feeling it tonight, or like Zach LaVine, he's got it going on, and that should be maybe your third score. And that's the way it should be. By the way, Christian, in the middle of this Team USA rant, I would like to remind everybody that this hour of OMFs, the MFers, the Effers, if you will, is brought to you by our friends at Northeast Men's Health, with locations in Dedham, next to Legacy Place, and in Salem, New Hampshire, or online at northeastmenshealth.com. Maybe we could bring Team USA to Northeast Men's Health. Yeah. Check their tea.
Let's go to Brian in New London. Brian.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Didn't you see this coming? With Jason Tatum?
Why would you think we would see it coming?
Because I never liked the idea of pros playing in the Olympics, first of all. And then Jason Tatum has just proven over and over again that he doesn't have the cojones. He doesn't close things. And I'm all for trading him. Get everything you can for him and bring some people in who can win in Boston. That's pathetic.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really see it coming. I would say this would be an opportunity for him. He's not going to jump out as the leader. He's too young for that. He's not going to do it. It's not his role yet. He can't do it on the All-Star team. What makes you think he would do it on an Olympic team?
But he, not being a closer, the guy had 450-point games this year and helped the Celtics win a couple of overtime thrillers. What, he put up 63 points in a game? He can get it done, but somebody else needs to get in his ear. This isn't a chance to, like, cower around Durant. This is a chance to prove to the Durants of the NBA and the world on this stage that you've got it. They're showing nothing at all.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. So I want to keep this topic going into the break, but I also want you to think about this, Fitzy, because we're going to do this in the next segment also. Because I know you like trade rumors. I know you like rumors.
I love them. It's my best
Fleetwood
Mac
album
ever.
I know you love Imagination Land. I think this is the road we're going to go down, because there is an NBA superstar who is actually supposed to play in the Olympics, whose preferred destination is the Celtics. I will tell you who it is, and you tell me if it's realistic or if is it just pie in the sky type stuff.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.